Two more hours left on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great holiday week. We welcome your phone calls, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 to 505. Time for a retirement checkup. Call Dave Hedger, Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. If you want to text the show, 44-1140. I'm going to be leaving here in about 25 minutes to head to the airport. And then Doug's got a variety of guests between 5:30 and 7 tomorrow. I'll be hosting the Jim Rome Show in the morning, and then I'll be at the Motor Center at 3 for our show, and then the Kings and the Blazers tomorrow. We've got a lot of things going on with the NFL. How's Matt McGloin going to do Sunday? And I think the bigger question, because I think he'll play okay. I really do. I think the bigger question is Denver going to try to play this game with some oomph and some meaning, or are they going to mail it in? That's the question I don't know.
Yeah, well, listening to their coach after the last game when they were put out, how he said it was, look, guys, this season's over. But this next game, excuse me, next game is going to be indicative of how we begin to play next season.
See, I think the players say, come on. That has nothing to do with next season. I understand your point you're making, and I heard what Gary Kubiak said, but I think the players go, come on, forget about next year. We'll worry about next year when we get to next year. But go ahead.
So you think that the players just say,
I think some of them will. I think some of the players will not have their heart into it. They just won a Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
So now you go from the Super Bowl to not being in the playoffs, and you have 60 minutes and your vacation starts.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do right now is get hurt.
You're at home.
You are at home, which does help.
Yeah, it does, especially in front of Bronco fans who require a bit of excellence, if you want to say.
No question. Good point there.
In front of John Elway. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. That's a good point. What are they going to bring? We will see.
And again, you know, it looks like Paxton Lynch is going to start in this game. So, I don't know what to expect. Let's get to Jason. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. What's happening?
Hey, not much. How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just a couple things. Your 1140 radio station, I can't hear. I live in Lincoln. I'm driving on 65, and I hear Christmas music in the background.
You know what? Our station is a 50,000-watt station, but we have what we call some soft spots. There are not many of them, but that happens to be one of them. And that I know exactly the area you're talking about, but that's only for a small little distance.
Yeah.
Our signal goes, you know, all the way down to the Monterey Peninsula. It goes all the way into the Bay Area, San Jose. I mean, our signal is unbelievably strong. There is one spot, though, I know exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah, it sucks being a Kings fan, not being able to hear the Kings when they're away. So that part. And my last comment is I listen to your show a lot, and I listen to everyone bash on DeMarcus. And I think for 2017, the fans just need to shut up and accept DeMarcus for what he is. He's a great talent. He's also a pain in the ass, and he is what he is. And we complain about Marcus, but all the fans do is complain about DeMarcus all the time. I wish they'd just stop and let him go.
The fans pay their money, and so the fans can do – they can voice their opinion. That's part of life, and it's part of sports. Does it go overboard sometimes? Yeah, it does. But, again, it's their right as fans. I mean, they're the ones that pay the freight. They're paying a lot of money. They're paying a lot of money, and they're investing a lot of their time, and they want to be heard. So I understand that.
I get that. I mean, I watch him play. I'm a ticket holder, and he gets his ass hammered, and he doesn't get a lot of calls. I mean, I can see why he plays off pitch.
Well, he also gets away with a lot of calls. I mean, for the people that say DeMarcus doesn't get a lot of calls, he also gets away with murder, too. And I think that fans need to be objective about this and stop thinking that he's getting screwed all the time. He commits fouls all the time that are not called. He plays center in the NBA. He plays with the big boys. Yeah. And you know what? The reality is there's contact all the time. I mean, you don't think that Shaquille O'Neal thought that, you know, he didn't get calls? He got away with murder. I mean, every big man that's played in this league feels like they don't get their fair share of calls. But the reality is, if you break down the video and go back and look at the games, it goes both ways. It really does.
I will agree with you, because I saw him give a forearm shiver to somebody and he didn't get a call, and then he got a loose foul called for him last night, so...
Again, it's an impossible game to officiate, especially with the bigs. And DeMarcus, yeah, does he get screwed sometimes? Yeah, but he also gets the benefit of the doubt, Doug. I watch these games very closely. I think it goes both ways.
It does go both ways. It's just we've talked about the human nature part, and we haven't seen DeMarcus do this that much as of late, is with every call looking at the official and really kind of getting into a banter with them. And that is where he'll start to get the benefit of the doubt even more on those questionable calls. But yeah, it goes both ways. Cause sometimes I see him, he gets a hold of somebody really good and, yep, and they get no call for him.
All right, Daniel. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well, Grant. How are you guys doing?
What's happening?
Not much. Hey, there's been a lot of talk last week or so about playoff teams resting their starters. What do you guys think about like a team like the Broncos, who relies so much on a player like Von Miller? Would you rest him if you were the coach in this last game?
No.
In case he
I would not.
ACL or something?
No, I would not. Because you're getting paid to play, and your job is to play and earn your money. And there are 75,000 people that are coming to watch you play, so play.
Fair enough. Thanks, Grant.
All right. Thank you. Do you agree with that, Doug?
Yes. And
if you get hurt, you got all season to get rehab.
This is true. You know what? Go out there, go after it, and let it go. Now, if you're like we were talking about the Giants earlier, and there are some players who are on the cut, like, okay, you're going to the playoffs, and guys are kind of playing hurt, kind of injured, I'm okay with sitting those guys.
Oh,
go ahead and sit.
Yeah.
But if you can play, get out there and make
it
happen.
All right, let's get to Tony. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Yeah, I just had a question regarding Rudy Gay. We're probably going to lose him, and I was just wondering what you guys thought about trying to get maybe a trade, like a draft pick or something for him now before it's like too late, before he leaves.
I think the Kings are doing I think they're really trying to work out a deal for Rudy. Whether it happens between now and the trade deadline, I think it will. But as of right now, he's still a Sacramento King, and Dave Yeager really likes him.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to know that Rudy, with his scoring ability and all those different things, if they can continue to play the same way that they've been playing with Rudy in the lineup, meaning ball movement and really getting going, then Rudy can become a valuable asset. But if he is not going to be here, then you do have to look to move him before it's too late.
Right. And that's the problem. I think that we're not going to end up taking advantage of that. That's my concern is that, I just want to try to get a draft pick for him if we could.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's get to Eli. Hello, Eli. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, so I got to call you guys out on this officiating thing. So like the rest of us, the officiating thing can be frustrating as hell. We all know that. And it's all a result of judgment calls by human beings. And when there's an opportunity to eliminate judgment calls, you guys don't like that idea, which is the electronic strike zone.
I hate it.
It blows my mind because it's the opportunity, the one probably of all sports, where you could completely eliminate judgment calls that are oftentimes wrong.
I don't even agree with that. I think that it's been proven that there's no 100% way to call balls and strikes with an electronic system. It's not possible.
Oh, I wouldn't buy that for
sure. I am buying it. I've talked to people that have done the studies. I've talked to umpires. I've talked to people that work in baseball. They're not convinced that you can do it electronically and still be foolproof. It's not 100%.
What if you can make it foolproof?
I wouldn't
Grant.
Even do it that. I think personally, and again, Eli, I mean, I appreciate and respect what you have to say. I think it's one of the true beauties of baseball.
I agree with Grant on that one. I'm not with it. Even if you could perfect it, I like the fact that there's the human error in that part, and I know both ways.
Why don't you like the human error with pass interference?
You know what, I actually am okay with it, but there have been some egregious mistakes this particular year, and again, not to harp on Doug because he's a Seahawks fan, but think about that call that they missed. Well, no, but think about this now. Atlanta right now would be the clear-cut number 2 seed. Now, they might be anyway, okay? But it would all be wrapped up, And that call right there should have been a win for Atlanta and a loss for Seattle. That's how crucial of a call that was. Those are the type of calls I'm talking about, Eli. You know, a lot of pass interference calls, Eli, I got to tell you, I see contact both ways. I see defenders pushing off. I see the receivers pushing off. And I'm like, really? I'm okay with that. It's just the egregious ones that are drive me crazy.
Just when it comes to that strike zone thing, I just come from a different angle. It would eliminate the arguing with umps and pitchers.
I kind of like that.
I like it, too. It's the beauty of the game.
And the biggest thing that drives me over the top is when you're in a do-or-die game. You're in the playoffs. The winner goes to the World Series, and somebody gets rung up by a bad call, and it just drives me nuts because I love the competition between the batter and the pitcher. I hate it when it's the batter, the pitcher, and the ump, and that's what it ends up being, a three-way competition.
Yeah, and I love that
and
personally.
I hate that.
That's why I love watching.
Could you imagine life without Billy Martin?
No. Earl Weaver.
Come on, Grant.
It's time to go out and kick some dirt.
Yeah, right. Hey, Eli, Happy New Year. Thank you.
Right on. You guys have a great one.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Let's get to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Grant. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chris.
Hey, Grant, I wanted to know how you felt about those comments you made earlier regarding Derek Carr.
About what?
The caller that called in. Do you remember?
I can't
remember. Being an amputee.
Oh, stop it. Would you please? Don't even go there with me, would you?
I'm just curious where you feel that you have the...
Hey, Chris.
You know, just to say.
Chris, I can say whatever I want. I'm a talk show host, and my job is entertainment, and I prefaced it before I even made it, all right? So if you have a problem with what I said, if I offended you, I apologize to you, Chris, okay? But anyone that listened to me would not have taken it that way.
I routinely listen to you.
Thank you, Chris.
I understand it as a long-time supporter.
Thank you.
It's a little...
Did I offend you?
Yes.
Okay, I apologize to you, Chris.
All right.
Do you accept my apology?
Not exactly.
Yes? It's the holidays. Do you accept my apology? Yes? It's okay. You can say no if you don't, but I hope you do, Chris. It's the holidays.
I'm sorry, hello?
I asked you if you accepted my apology.
Oh, no.
No, you don't? Okay. Well, Happy New Year anyway. All right.
Wow, you are in the really good
it's
spirit.
It's the holidays.
Yeah, I see that, man. I wow. Touche.
All right.
Well done, Napes.
Thank you, buddy. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. All I can do is apologize to the guy. I can't. I mean, what else am I supposed to do?
That's it. It's 5:17. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com.
All right, let's get to Jackson. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, what's going on, Grant?
What's going on today?
Not much. So I actually kind of like that topic of the whole pass interference and the whole, you know, automatic strike zone or whatever. But for me, I have a big peeve with sports. It seems like every time people lose, like, I'm just tired of people blaming referees, umpires, and officials. Like, nothing irritates me more than that. I go out there and win the game, period. Like, no matter what they're calling the entire game. There's a million blown missed calls in any sports game. So I just wonder, I don't know if you guys feel
this. Hey, let me ask you this. Do the athletes play perfect games?
No, sir.
So, you know what? Until the athletes, you know, start playing perfect games, we should not expect the officials to be perfect. When the athletes start playing perfectly and never making a mistake, at that point, then I'll expect the same from the officials. But until that point, I accept the fact that our players that we watch are going to make mistakes, and I accept the fact that our officials are going to make mistakes.
So, if we're going to have a electronic strike zone, should we just have off the tee one of those electronic things that just hits it perfectly 300 yards, second shot? Come on, that's the human nature part is what makes it fun.
And you know what else? And a lot of fans do not understand this. Do you know what the average is for major league umpires behind home plate on balls and strikes?
It's probably mind-blowingly not what you would think.
Okay, so it's over 96% their rate of accuracy.
Correct?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, not incorrect. That would be a problem.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, I'm sure a lot of people probably think that.
They do a hell of a job. Yeah. Do they get some wrong? Yeah.
Guess
what? Pitchers throw wild pitches once in a while, and sometimes pitchers hit batters, and sometimes pitchers can't get out of the first inning because they have no control, and that has nothing to do with the umpires. I mean, I would think, personally, If they ever did that, I think it would really hurt the beauty of the sport of baseball.
Yes, it really would. Because can you imagine, would the ump just not be there? It'd just be the pitcher? I mean, it'd be the batter and the catcher?
No, the umpire would still be there because of any play at home plate to be called whether safe or out.
Oh, no, we'd have a drone that did that.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Hey, you never know.
He'd be controlling the drone up in the box someplace.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, man. I'm down.
Are you?
With human nature.
All right. 339-1140-800-920-1140. And, hey, listen, I get fans. I've had my team, they've been screwed before on bad calls. I hate it. And I've come on the air and I talk about it. And it does. I'm not saying fans should get over it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that, you know, okay, because I'm saying this, you should feel better. All I'm saying is until you can come up in football and basketball with a better system, and I don't think an automated ball and strike is a better system, but, you know, we're really talking about football and pass interference. I'll tell you what I'd like to see, and I think this is very doable. Right now, coaches get two challenges.
Right.
Okay? In my opinion, you should be allowed to challenge a play in the final 5 minutes of a game on any pass interference call, and you should be able to challenge that, and you should get X number of challenges to do that. Because, and again, I'm using your game, your team, as an example. That would have been overturned. That was, it would have been called pass interference, okay? And so an egregious mistake like that, I'm all for it being corrected, and maybe you just have one more challenge that doesn't. Here's the other thing I don't like. You get two challenges. If you get them both right, you can use a third. Let's say there's a third and you get it right. Why should you not be allowed any more challenges?
Right. But, see, this is, Grant, where the exact science, there's no exact science in pass interference. And what would end up happening to try to correct that is the ugliness that I and you and all Kings fans experienced for those years when they started changing the rules, and if a guy was above the free throw line, I couldn't put my hand on him. So, like, I'm talking about touch him, not like grab him, touch him. And if I touched him, it was a foul. And that took away from the beauty of the game. And they were trying to correct it with absolutes. And there is no absolute. That's the whole point of the game itself. You have to, you know, allow them to be subjective and figure it out right there. And I can't go for that. If they start doing that, because what you're saying, Grant, is after 7 yards, I think it is, you can't touch them at all.
After 5 yards.
5 yards. Yep. You can't touch them at all. I mean, come on.
I know. It's crazy.
Come on.
YR, what's going on? Hey, YR.
Hey, Grant. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good. So I got to tell you, Grant, I used to listen to the show pretty religiously until one day you said that Steve Young had no business being in the Hall of Fame because he only had one good year. But
I just said I didn't think he was a sure Hall of Famer.
All right. I mean, he was an MVP. He had passing titles, but that's another
thing. He had one good year.
You know, yeah, I take some offense to basically this idea that we've always had to have the human element in sports. Frankly, I believe it takes away from the credibility of the outcomes of games. I mean, I'll just give you one example. I'm a Niners fan, and I think that they were completely robbed on two PIs, not one, but two PI calls, to Crabtree in that Super Bowl. But setting that aside, anybody who watched that game last night with the Cowboys, you can see, obviously, where the refs seem to have some favoritism towards certain teams. I mean, Dez goes up for a touchdown pass. He pulls the defender's face mask, and somehow he's the one that basically gets the PI call. It completely takes away from the credibility of the game. I do agree with you that, you know, refs make mistakes just like athletes make mistakes, just like coaches make mistakes. But, for example, with a game like baseball where you have a set strike zone, if you have a machine that can tell you, hey, if the ball was in the strike zone or wasn't in the strike zone, and you're telling me that you'd rather have a human who's susceptible to making mistakes, honestly, I think that's just BS. It takes away from the credibility outcome.
That's how I feel, and I'll tell you something else you're totally not aware of. When you talk about, a bias, do you think an official running down the field, okay, has enough time as he's trying to follow the ball and trying to follow if there's contact. Then with all of that, to go through his mind and go, I don't like Dez Bryant, so I'm going to call it this way. That's number one. Number two, are you also aware that in the National Football League, your right to work the playoffs has to do with how you do during the regular season, and you're graded on every single play, on every call you make and every call you don't make. And if you make too many mistakes, you don't end up doing, you know, playoffs. I mean, so, you know, I don't think a lot of fans understand what officials go through and how they're rewarded or not rewarded based on their regular season calls. So I don't know how else I need to explain that. Officials are reprimanded. Officials are graded. Officials, you know, especially in the National Football League, if they want to work the playoffs, it's based on how they do during the regular season. I don't understand why that's so hard to understand for people. Doug, I'm out of here.
What? You're gone?
I'm gone. You're going to be able to handle yourself?
Come on, man. We are going
to. All right, I'm going to listen to you on the way to the airport.
You do that, and I will be talking to you. You know what? You can be the 23rd caller. You call in, and I'm going to.
I am definitely not calling in. There are a lot of things I may be doing tonight. Calling into this show is not one of them. I will talk to you tomorrow in Portland.
You put in enough work, huh?
You're a beauty.
You know it, man.
All right. Doug's coming right back. Don't go anywhere on Sports 1140.
Hey, hey, hey. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHDK with me, Doug Christie. Grant stepped out, and I'm sure he's in his Lexus of Roseville. He's in that Lexus. He's driving along right now. Probably got hands free, hands off the wheel. He's just rolling high. But we're going to talk in the next hour. We're going to talk with Coach Elston Turner, assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings. We're going to chat with him for a little bit, and then we're going to have Bobby Jackson at about 6 o'clock, my longtime teammate and good friend. We're going to talk all things with Bobby. And then from the Loonies, Yuck Mouth. And for all the hip-hop fans out there, we'll be able to talk with him, Raiders, and the Raiders anthem that they made. So we'll be able to talk a lot of this as we're coming up. I would love to have your calls, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, or if you're on the text lines, 44-1140. And just hear what you have to say. I know that we had been talking about, refereeing and if it goes automated and a lot of things like that. And some people are with it. Some people are not. Myself, I kind of like the human element, and I can actually speak on it because when you think about it, we got jobbed probably worse than anybody. And Kings fans know that are out there. We do have a caller on the line. Let's get to him. Peter, you want to talk Kings? What's happening, Peter? How are you?
Hey, Doug. Hey, first of all, great job, man. You and Grant do fantastic together.
So thank you.
It's real fun to listen to you guys. Hey, so when you played with the Kings, you know, whenever you watched, you can just see the ball move, and you could see the cutters, you could see the high post, big man. And the system seemed like that's just how you guys played. And then, you know, when you needed to do like an isolation play, whether it was Weber or whoever, then you would do it. But it would be like, you know, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like an isolation play would be about maybe 10% of the time. And the majority of the points were scored with that ball movement and cutters and, you know, the open shooters and things like that. And I watched last night's game, and it just was interesting to see how, you know, the offense flowed for a while, definitely at the beginning. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, Cousins do this ISO stuff, you know, three or four turnovers, and then Rudy does the same thing. And let me just ask you, how does the coach change that whole culture and make a team move the ball, find the cutters, find the open three shooters, and play like that most of the time and only do isolation when you know, like drop a play or something?
You know, what happens is there has to be trust in the team because human nature kicks in and guys will default to that thing that they are comfortable with. And that's Rudy is more of an ISO player and he's comfortable in that. When you talk about early in the games, I see it as well. There's ball movement. There's player movement. It's hopping around. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe someone went a couple plays and they haven't got a shot. So now they want to get a shot, or it gets a little tight. And to DeMarcus's, to speak for him, a lot of times I see that they just go to DeMarcus and say, get us a shot. And that's not always his fault. Now, when we played, you spoke on that. And what we would do a lot of times is there would be ball movement, but we may know where the ball is going at the end of it. But we're trusting the process. And along the way, if Bobby has a shot or if I have a shot or Paige got a shot, then you take it. Now, if that play was for Webb and we did it maybe two times, but a couple people got open shots and we didn't make them, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be a little bit more vanilla. And I'm going to say, Webb, you know, it's time for you to get a shot. Get in the post and we're going to run something more vanilla, like a four down where a guy just turns off, he comes off, and he drops in the post. That's what we see a lot of the times for DeMarcus, and you got to trust the process. Jaeger, early in the season, I saw a lot of ball movement and those type of things, and the guys just have to trust it and continue to know that once you give that ball up, it will come back to you.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like when they do that, they really start clicking, you know, and I just hope that, you know, like the elite teams, that they can just start trusting the process, like you said, more, because I really think that they've got potential to be a better team. It's nice to see them on a little winning streak.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, one area, to speak to your point, one area that you see it in the most is cutting. When you pass the ball and you aren't, you know, ingrained in you that you will get it back, guys don't cut hard. They say, and sometimes they won't even cut at all. But when you cut and you cut really hard and someone drops you the ball, like I see DeMarcus as a willing passer. Webb and Vlade were the absolute best at it. We would cut extremely hard. You know why? Because they would actually pass it to us and we would actually get layups. And when they didn't pass it to us, that hard cut frees it up for somebody else. But that's a process that you have to learn, because most guys, if you watch out there, they'll throw the ball into the post and then they'll just kind of saunter away and walk away. And you just got to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pass it and I'm going to cut extremely hard.
But isn't that Jaeger's job to say no? And isn't that Jaeger's job to, you know, blow the whistle and call the timeout if he doesn't see the cuts, you know, and watches like more and more ISO plays?
Man, he would be calling timeouts all night long, and there's not enough timeouts in the game. I think what Yeggs is doing is that's where practice comes in, and that's where he is addressing those type of things, because after a break, after they have a chance to practice, you'll see them come out, and they'll play the right way. And then it just – and hopefully what you're looking for is they play the right way for 12 minutes, and then it's 18 minutes. And then and it continues to get longer until they trust the process where they play the whole 48 minutes the right way, moving, cutting, and all of that. And understanding that sometimes when you move and cut, you get extremely tired. So guess what, coach? I'm going to raise my hand. I need to come out, because I know that you're going to put me back in when you are ready. And that's just the trust between the coach and the player to player. And it's a whole process that you got to trust in.
Right on. Well, hope we get there, man. Hey, thanks, Doug. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Peter. Appreciate your call. 339-1140, 800-920-1140, or you can text us at 44-1140. The Kings are, and Grant now, is headed to Portland, facing the Trail Blazers tomorrow night. Should be an absolute dandy. The last time these two teams met up, it was a physical ball game. Miles, Plumlee, you looked at Cuz, and they asked him afterwards, and Cuz said, you know what, I've been getting dunked on by Plumlee since I was in high school. And it's going to be a physical game all around the board. When you look at Myers Leonard and the comments that he had for DeMarcus Cousins afterwards, you know, saying that he didn't like his style of basketball and didn't respect and a lot of that stuff, but 55 points is 55 points, and a W will put you on a little bit of a downer. In the Moda Center in Portland, always, always an absolutely tough place to play. Even when we were good, it was always really, really hard to win there. But this is a Blazer team that is trending down. They've went through the NBA last year, shocked a lot of people after losing LaMarcus Aldridge. And now they're starting to get nicked up and dinged around, and there will be no probably, I can't speak exact, but Damian Lillard sat out the last game. But last time we saw C.J. McCollum with no Damian Lillard, 35 big numbers. So that doesn't always bode well. It's 541. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. Call jacuzziofsacramento.com. This is the Grant Napier Show with me, DC, Doug Christie. We will be back right after this. Hey, hey, hey. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. This is the Grant Napier Show with me, DC, Doug Christie. We are back, and we are going to be joined by E.T., better known, Elston Turner, assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings and assistant when I played as well. E.T., how you doing, man? E.T., are you there, man? He's leaving. Well, we'll get E.T. in just a second. E.T. is in Portland. The Sacramento Kings are going to be facing the Portland Trail Blazers tomorrow night, and it is going to be a absolute dandy. E.T., are you there, big man?
Yeah, I'm here, dude. How you doing,
man? I'm doing fantastic, man. I know you're trying to get to that bus going to Nike, man. Is that where you're headed?
You already know.
Oh, man.
No, we just put our bags down in the hotel.
Hey, man, well, you know, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes for me, man.
I got you.
Hey, you know what? I thought about this, and we chatted about it, but the fans, obviously. You were with the Blazers versus L.A. versus Phil, and you were with the Kings versus L.A. versus Phil, and they nipped us, you, two times, man. When you seen it the first time and then the second time, you had to be thinking in your mind, not again, man.
Well, you know, exactly that. We actually had them on the ropes both times.
Yep.
You know, game 7 in Portland and up 14 or 15 in the fourth and couldn't make a shot, and they came back. And we all know the situation in Sacramento in game 6 when we had them on the ropes and things turned around unexpectedly. So, you know, it's a organization that I personally cannot stand, and I don't care if we're shooting marbles, Jack Rocks, cards, I want to beat them. You know, just you know, they've had in the past just a good basketball team.
Yeah,
been a thorn in my side personally for years.
No doubt, E.T. You got to give them respect, E.T.
No question.
I'm not saying this because you're on the radio. Between you and Coachy, you guys were my absolute favorites, man. Because every day I knew what I was coming into with E.T. You was always the same way, and you're always the same way now. I don't know if the young players today, because my question is going to changing culture, and that's what's trying to go on here, is change it back. What do you see as the biggest obstacle to making that happen again in Sacramento?
Well, number one, repetition. I'm being firm in your philosophies and whatever is not healthy. In the success of your franchise, do away with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't stand for it, as well as being a little bit lenient,
yes,
because it's a long season and players want to try, you know, have a good time and while they succeed.
Yes.
But, you know, it's we try to just put down the philosophy, man, and just work toward that and repetition. You have to have talent, obviously, but you know, a little bit of stability helps.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to maintain and stay in a position long enough to implement your philosophy, but I tell you, you know, you have to have the right players. You know, our team, when I say our team, I'm talking about the team that we had with you guys. You know, it was the chemistry is huge, and you guys had it.
Yes.
You knew how to play with each other. You got along well on and off the court. These things are important. You know, it's kind of cliche, but it's big time important. You didn't have any agendas, no issues, didn't care who scored, long as everybody helped each other get better. All this kind of thing has to come into play, and it's just going to take a minute or two for it to to happen now.
Yes. When you look at the Kings right now with the differences between the winning streak and the losing, what is maybe the biggest factor that you see right now in this four-game winning streak?
Well, the mental aspect. I don't see the hanging of heads that we saw earlier when things didn't go right.
Right.
You know, and as you know from being a big-time player for years, games are going to swing.
Yes,
you
they
know,
are.
In your favor and away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And how you respond to that is huge in your success. Early on, I thought, you know, we would hang our heads and start pointing fingers and blaming each other. And, you know, the referees are the reason we're doing this, or the coaches, or the plays, or you got too many shots, or whatever. You know, I don't see a lot of that now. Guys are kind of patting each other on the butt and picking each other up when things don't go right. And that's a little sign of growth, man, in my opinion. But and a lot of these wins, if not all of them, have been come from behind victories, which is huge.
Yeah, that is something that it builds a lot of character. It builds camaraderie with the team and obviously in the coaching staff. I know you got to get out of there, E.T. I just want to tell you, man, you know, I wear a size 14 XLT in a sweatsuit and a shirt. So, you know, holla at your boy, man.
How were you able to move so fast with a size 14?
Hey, man, you know.
You're a big-time defender. Yeah. You stand in front of people with a size 14.
Hey, man, you said go. Bruh, go, man. You know what's up. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking a second for me, man. Enjoy tomorrow. Get them ready, man. Let's go get another one.
All right, dude.
All right, man. Have a good night, E.T. Appreciate you.
Thank you, bro.
That was assistant coach Elston Turner of the Sacramento Kings. Always a joy to talk to E.T., talk about some old times, but at the same time, talk about what we're seeing with the Kings. And you heard it right there. There are a lot of different aspects, and it is a little bit of an understanding from the fans' perspective. You got to understand that it takes time. I know, like he said, it's cliche, but it does. The chemistry that we were able to have, a little bit lightning in the bottle, but at the same time, you look at a guy like Vlade, who is now the general manager. He has the ability, ladies and gentlemen, to talk to people, to relate to people, and that meant every single person on our team. And then you bring in guys like myself and Bobby and Peja and Hito and guys that were able to be selfless and give up of themselves. So that is a process that we are going through now. We're starting to reap some benefits, four-game winning streak, I'll bet, coming from behind and all these different things. Now let's see what the Kings can go and do on the road. It is going to be fantastic. We may have another caller, Link Kennedy, may be on the phone with us. If not, we're going to have Bobby Jackson at the 6 o'clock hour. So that should be coming up fairly soon. A lot of good stuff that Grant and I talked about today. Everything from the football side of things. Then we got in to the playoffs are coming up. You're going to have an incredible matchup. Green Bay, Detroit, Sunday Night Football. That's going to be outstanding. Not a lot. There's a little bit of movement that can still take place. We're going to be having, just in my ear, producer just told me we are going to be having Lincoln Kennedy next, so we're going to be able to talk some Raiders football. And, you know, you can call in if you like, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, or hit us on the text lines, 44-1140. And if you want to call in and rap with Mr. Lincoln Kennedy, one of my favorites, maybe even talk to him a little bit about the Washington Huskies as they get ready to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. It is 5:54. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com. We will be right back with Lincoln Kennedy and more.